This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. On today's show, making Hamilton County more inclusive for women and girls. But first, Germans are getting ready for their country's national election in 5 days. They'll be deciding on a new parliament and whether Chancellor Angela Merkel will be elected to a fourth term. Besides being allies, Germany and the United States are strong trade partners. The U.S. is Germany's fourth largest supplier of goods and is Germany's leading export market. German Consul General to the Midwest, Herbert Quella, is visiting Cincinnati this week, and he joins us to discuss relations between Germany and the U.S. and what the upcoming German elections will mean for Europe and the rest of the world. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Consul General Quella, so good to see you today.
Great to be with you again, Mark.
So tell us about your trip to Cincinnati.
Well, it's the fourth official visit, and I'm meeting with many people in universities, talking mostly about the election. I've met with community leaders, paid a brief visit to the mayor this morning, and appreciated that Cincinnati is at the forefront of, in the Midwest, I should say, of changing street names back to their German heritage. That's greatly appreciated. And I met with the American Jewish Committee, which is always on my agenda when I'm here, because we have a very close dialogue with the Jewish community in the Midwest, in the United States as a whole, but I'm responsible for 13 federal states in the Midwest. And then on the sideline, I mean, I have this hobby, music and writing a little bit. So I'll be talking tonight at Katerina's, reading from my novel, Monica's Blues, which is about the research, fictional story about the connection between the German harmonica and African-American blues culture.
Now, you mentioned the changes in the street names. I saw on your Twitter feed that you tweeted out a good move. You were talking about how there are a number of cities around the Midwest that are going back to original German names. And, in Cincinnati, we have, as an example, Woodrow Street in Lower Price Hill is going to be renamed Berlin Street. And you like this idea a lot, I take it, from what I saw on your Twitter feed.
I like that a lot because it shows that 100 years after this traumatic experience of the United States entering into a World War I, which led to anti-German feelings. I am still hesitant from the German standpoint to call that hysteria, but that seems to be the common term applied in these parts of the world. So if you want to call it anti-German hysteria, we've overcome that. I mean, of course, there was the Holocaust, which was even a more terrible event in the last century. Germany stands with an excellent image, not only in the United States, globally today, fully respected. And so it's a time, good time, to appreciate 100 years, the centennial of that event, to put the German heritage, the strong heritage, especially in the German triangle between Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Milwaukee, back on the map.
How are trade relations between Germany and the United States these days?
They're very good. As you mentioned from your figures, I don't have figures in front of me, but the volume is huge. And we are, on the global scale, among the main trade partners. We have a strong interest in maintaining free and open borders for trade. So there are certain differences concerning protectionist tendencies in the United States. We feel, and I've witnessed that in many opportunities of visits over the past few years since I've been in Chicago, that there is a strong investment of a German industry. We have over 800 members, German-American firms of the German-American Chamber of Commerce of the Midwest, 1,300 companies, creating in the Midwest alone at at least around 350,000 jobs. On a US-wide scale, the figure is higher, between 650,000 and 800,000. So that's a huge element that helps the workforce in this country. It makes sense for young people, and that's always a message that I have when I go to universities, to learn German, because your German skills, even if they are only beginner's level, if you apply, and I'm saying that at a radio station that is affiliated with the university, and I've been here before, if you have in your CV German language skills, that will help you landing a job with one of the German-American companies in the region.
Now, President Trump's been critical of the trade surplus that Germany has with the United States. I believe it's $65 billion in size. In fact, one of the things that he says, it's hurting the U.S. I'm just wondering, can we expect to see major policy adjustments, do you think, in Germany to reduce that current account surplus?
That remains to be seen. The general German position is that this is mainly an effect of high German industrial competitiveness. German goods are, compared to goods from other countries, in the most cases, much more expensive or even more expensive, but they are never or hardly ever cheaper. So still people buy more expensive goods because they see they are of better quality, of more long-time duration. So if you accept that point, that it is an effect mostly of competitiveness of industry, and if you believe in free market, and that at the marketplace, the best product should prevail, without, we are not manipulating prices or anything. We are open ourselves to imports from other places. You have to accept that that is a valid point that you can simply not simply ignore. There are certain points. Maybe the labor costs are could be slightly higher, and you can influence that. You can turn the tax screw, as we all know, to influence the price of a product. You can make working conditions for employers more difficult in order to artificially bring down your competitiveness. Whether that as a whole serves Germany, Europe, and the world is not so easy to answer. I believe that the high German competitiveness has led to, and the surplus in a way, which is an effect of that, a side effect of that, has actually led to the recovery of the European Union economically, the recovery of the Eurozone, the re-strengthening of the euro, which stands today at more than 15% appreciation over the dollar compared to earlier this year. And so many countries have come out of recession because in Europe, Greece, Spain, Portugal, because they share the production of products that are finalized in Germany with Germany. Every German export is dependent, manufactured export is dependent on input from other countries, be it in Europe or other parts of the world. And coming back to your early question concerning the trade between the United States and Germany, and the I focused on the investments. I mean, the largest exporter of the automobiles from the United States is not any of the big four in Detroit, it's BMW from Spartanburg.
So the election's coming up in 5 days, be on the 24th, and we have Parliament being elected. Is that right?
That's
and
correct.
We have Chancellor Angela Merkel, who is running for a fourth term.
Correct.
So what else is at stake in these elections?
Yeah. I think for our American listeners who may not be so familiar with the German political system, let me just say there's a basic difference between the U.S. and the German system in us being a parliamentary democracy, whereas the United States, as you know, is a presidential democracy, which means that the majority parties or the majority parties coalition in the government in parliament will form the government. We have traditionally had coalition governments in Germany. Various forms. Currently, we have a coalition of the Christian Democratic, which is a conservative union with the Social Democrats. We've had prior to that a coalition with the Free Democrats, which are pro-market, free markets party. And we have had coalitions in the past of the Social Democrats with the Greens. All the party names that I've mentioned just now will be represented again in the parliament. The chancellor, who is also heading the Christian Democratic Union, Angela Merkel, will certainly be the strongest head of the strongest party. Her party stands at between 36% and 38% at the polls today. The second strongest party will be the Social Democratic Party with Martin Schulz. He is a pragmatic candidate, no outlier in any way. So either the coalition will be chaired by Mrs. Merkel or by Mr. Schulz if he and parties on the left, Die Linke, former party from the German Democratic Republic, and the Greens happen to gain the majority of votes, which will not be the case, most likely, according to the polls. So there's either a continuation of the current Grand Coalition, or there will be recap of a coalition with the Free Democratic Party, what we call liberals economically, or there might be what we call Jamaica Coalition, Angela Merkel's party with the Free Democrats and the Greens, because the Conservative Union has black as a color, like the Republicans have red as a color in the United States, and the Free Democrats have yellow as a color, and the Greens are green, so that's the color of the flag of Jamaica. That's why we call it Jamaica Coalition. So the likeliest, I think, will be either a continuation of Grand Coalition or with the Free Democratic Party. There's one new party, and that is of concern to all of us, which is the AfD, Alternative für Deutschland, Alternative for Germany, which sort of incorporates the populist voices mostly on the right wing of the political spectrum, with strong anti-Semitic, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, and originally anti-European Union and anti-joint currency euro sentiment. The good thing is, compared to the two-party system here, they will not be able to influence government decisions. They will be isolated in parliament, in the opposition, because none of the other established parties, due to this the mainstream that you find, or the extreme views that you find in there that I just mentioned, anti-Semitism and what have you, will go along with them in a cooperative way. We
will continue our conversation with German Consul General Herbert Quella. You can join us 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. German Consul General to the Midwest, Herbert Quella, is my guest this afternoon, and he's visiting Cincinnati this week. You can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. What are some of the big issues that are coming up in this particular election?
The major issue remains the integration efforts for the huge migration group that has come to Germany since the start of the Syria civil war. Beginning in 2013, actually, but we saw a major wave of migration in the second half of 2015 into 2016, with a total of over 1 million people, some of whom who have not even to this date been registered or recognized as refugees. But it was a great humanitarian effort. To a large extent, by Germany, and not in full solidarity with our European Union members. There's no other country within the European Union that has taken such a large absolute number of refugees. There are others that are far smaller, of course, Luxembourg or Austria, from which countries you cannot expect to take similar numbers, but there are similarly large numbers, like large countries like Poland, for instance, who have not accepted the fair share of refugees. And that is that poses a major problem for Germany in the way that the citizens question the readiness of the German government to accept so many refugees, whereas comparatively other European Union members do not do that. That has put Angela Merkel, our chancellor, on the spot. So immigration is the sort of inroad for populist sentiment that the AfD party, which we talk about in the first half of the program, is sort of mobilizing. Other issues are actually mobility issues that are connected with the future of transport in Germany, provoked, if you want, by the general discussion about production of or emission of how do you call them again? I'm not talking about carbon dioxide, but
greenhouse gases.
Greenhouse gas emissions. But there are other Stickoxide is the German term. It escapes me at the moment. Side effects that pollute the environment and are a danger of health, and the manipulation of software technology. That is in the context of at what stage will we be able to replace current transmission systems for cars or current energy of cars by renewables, i.e., when can we totally phase out diesel and petrol and or gas and replace them, substitute them with electric cars? There's, of course, a huge offensive, if you want, marketing offensive from United States manufacturers. I'm not mentioning any names here, but there is a global competition around that. The problem remains, as long as you do not fully produce the energy for the car with renewables, there is at one stage still some pollution of the environment. So the full chain would be only once you have solar energy or windcraft producing the electricity that the car then can get from the plug-in. We are far from that point. So our Chancellor Angela Merkel is talking about a transition phase, which may be much longer than some of the optimists expect. So that in the context of renewables, climate, the climate change agenda is a valid point for the German voters, and we are strong proponents of climate change and phasing in renewables. Another issue is in foreign policy, to what extent do you deal with countries that are following a more and more authoritarian course? And we have many examples in and around Europe for that. Unfortunately, the current government has been a strong proponent of sanctions against Russia. We all believe that we need Russia as a partner in Europe. So we are actually frustrated with the position that Russia has taken, and that it's not helping more to appease the situation in eastern Ukraine. Of course, we all know that there was a violation of international law with the annexation of Crimea. We are in Germany the country in Europe with the largest Turkish population. So we have about around 3.5 million Turks living in Germany. So almost a fifth of the German population. And the direction that the Erdogan government is taking is of grave concern to us. Many dual nationals, we're talking about a three-digit number, are in prison in Turkey. So a famous journalist, Deniz Yücel, is imprisoned without substantial charges. So we see that of that is concern, and that plays also into the elections, because the Turkish German dual nationals will also vote. And who will they vote for, given the opposition to the current policy direction in Turkey by both the Social Democratic Union, Social Democratic Party, and the Christian Democratic Union?
After seeing Brexit, is there a concern too about the stability of the European Union?
No, there's not so much concern about the stability of the European Union, for the simple fact that everybody knows in Germany, the United Kingdom, and I served there for 4 years, I know Britain very well, was never as much in the European Union with their hearts and mind as, for instance, Germany is, or France is, or many other member states of the Union are. We see that with great grief and sorrow. I personally regret that tremendously. We, of course, respect the decision of the British people, but I think it's a grave mistake that they have made. They've fallen in the trap of populist demagogues who promised them something that these demagogues, as we saw when Farage pulled out of UKIP, when Boris Johnson took the current stance, the responsibility has not been that of a follow-up to a decision they helped to come about. And the interconnectedness with the European continent, especially in the economy, with the German car industry, for instance. Bentley is owned by Volkswagen. Mini is owned by BMW. Rolls-Royce is owned by BMW, and so forth. And you take many more examples. The financial market with London will suffer. And the position that Britain claims to have in the future, I'm afraid, will not be as it expects. So it's good for the United States rather to bank on a European Union as a stable entity for the future, with a market of 430 million people, rather than banking on a country that unfortunately will be pretty isolated if Brexit actually goes through.
What do you see in the future for relations between the United States and Germany?
Our interest is to have a continuation of the excellent transatlantic partnership that we have had since World War II. We have tremendously benefited from the United States. I should mention the Marshall Plan and the first Bush administration in the unification process was extremely helpful. So without the United States also helping drafting our constitution, Germany would not be the democracy that we are. And we will do everything to maintain a strong relationship on all fields possible. Admittedly, there are some frictions I mentioned, but they are frictions between policy viewpoints, and they do not affect the substance, which is also due to the strong German heritage in this country, the affiliation, the partnership that many people in this country have enjoyed with Germany, and the exchange that we continue to see.
Consul General Quella, thank you. Good to see you again.
Thank you for having me again.
German Consul General to the Midwest, Herbert Quella.